You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, your favorite psychic medium and paranormal investigator. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and my show is called Between Two Worlds. This show is about just about anything and everything I decide to call to do. We're having some pretty funky days. I have a very special guest. I got Dr. Jimmy from APSR Radio, who I've known for quite a while, last few years. But before I start, I want to share a little story with you guys, a little quick one, that we are always keeping on hearing these stories about political correct Christmases, and where you're not supposed to say Merry Christmas and that kind of stuff. Well, I had a friend that I got this email from, and I thought I'd just share this with you guys, because I think you may have heard this before, but I want to share this with you just to see if you guys actually did hear it before. And they call it the political correct Christmas by saying that one word called "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and it's called now it's called "'Twas the Night Before Non-Denominational Before Winter Holiday," when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The neutral gift sacks were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes of non-specific holiday figure would soon be there. Children of every race, creed, and nationality were resting all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar-free plums danced in their heads. When out on the lawn rose such a clatter that I got out of bed to see what was the matter and see who was violating the neighborhood sound level ordinance. But what did my wandering eyes see appear but an emissions-free vehicle and 8-sized challenged reindeer? The holiday figure was so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be holiday figure. He had a broad but normal face and an advanced-sized belly, and he laughed, "Lady of the evening, lady of the evening, lady of the evening." You can't even say, "Ho, ho, ho." What kind of crap is this? His name is Santa Claus. He cracks beer with a horse whip, and he breaks into people's houses, drinks rum and eggnog, looks like Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard. Enough said. Anyways, let me share that little story with you guys. I think it's kind of funny. Tonight, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Jimmy, but I want to tell you a story about this man. He was born in Laurel, Mississippi in 1964. He was reared as a preacher's kid nearly all his childhood, which presented many challenges. His father is a Southern Methodist minister. Dr. Jimmy continues to practice his Christian faith and believes strongly that all paranormal researchers should maintain a strong faith system no matter of the religion due to the nature of our work. He has personally experienced both human spirits and the demonic as a young child on and into adulthood. As a teenager, Dr. Jimmy began his ongoing quest to learn about the spirit realm and its existence, not to mention that of the different religions and occult practices. His quest has taken him through the U.S. and to Turkey. While a member of the U.S. military, he is decorated enlisted airman and is served in Desert Field. Served in Desert Shield, it was a desert field, and in Storm in 1990 and 1991. He continues to serve his country in the reserves after 22 years of service. Dr. Jimmy received his ordination as a minister in 1999, as well as his doctorate in religion. He currently does not pastor a church nor plans as he feels this is not calling him to do good to God, but he does God's work. Dr. Jimmy feels his calling is helping people that are experiencing the unknown and the dark side. Dr. Jimmy, as he goes by on his show, has been involved in the paranormal for over 37 years. He started the radio show in March of 2004 as a sort of hobby. APSR stands for the Alabama Paraspiritual Research, which was formed by Dr. Jimmy and continues to do research on the spiritual realm of the unexplained. He has been involved in numerous cases that involve not only human spirit hauntings, but that of the darker side as well, the demonic. He has assisted and conducted exorcism in some very diabolical cases. Dr. Jimmy, not only a war veteran, but still is proud to serve his country in the military reserves and has done so for over 24 years. Dr. Jimmy's co-host and his beautiful, lovely wife, Heather Lowry, is also his wife, as I said, which adds to the southern charm of the radio show. As a husband and wife team, the two of them have built a large captive listening audience around the world. Not only do they do this show together, but they also, as a team, in conducting paranormal investigations, which the two of them did their first DVD documentary in 2005, The Haunted South, which I want to talk about. And their series of books are due to be published in the 2007 that will give readers a sinister side of the paranormal that they have encountered. Now, since then, Dr. Jimmy actually has an assistant show host that takes his place once in a while. We have Old Hip, and he's a good guy. And but still, you know, the voice doesn't work. Dr. Jimmy has a better voice.
You're going to get a complex.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Well, let me start off first by saying bah humbug. I'm ready for it to be over.
Are you?
Nah, I'm in the Christmas spirit. Ho, 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 jolly, jolly, jolly. Ha, ha, ha.
What do you think of my little show here, what I basically wrote a little poem here regarding?
Yeah, you know, we have gotten into a world of political correctness here. It's gotten so out of hand. I don't know. I think it's this new generation coming up, you know. I don't know. What can you say?
Well, you know,
there's ignorance all over the place, so enough said on that.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It is. Just as an update, I need to update my bio. I actually retired as of November the 2nd, 24 years. I am done.
Yeah, you actually, have you just finished being on the reserves now?
Yes, I retired effective the 2nd of November.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm a retiree.
Retiree veteran.
Retiree veteran.
Yeah.
And disabled veteran, so.
Well, how does it feel to retire?
It feels good. Yeah. You know, it was a good life. It was a good... I think it was a good choice as a young man. It was a good 24 years. I got to say that. You know, everything has its ups and downs, but it was a good 24 years. You know,
good.
I was glad I was able to serve and protect and help others. And
I got a question.
Help people now today. You know, and what we do now. So it's still an ongoing thing. It's just. Capacity.
I'd like to welcome everybody in the chat rooms, the BBS Radio chat room, as well as the Pal Talk chat room. And also, anybody who wants to call in toll-free, these toll-free numbers are available. Those are you guys out there. You want to pull out your crayons, and it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's the American side. Canada and the U.S. is also included in this one. It's toll-free numbers. These are 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is international as well, is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I got a really great question for you. Did you ever do any paranormal investigating, or did you actually experience anything that was paranormal when you were on the reserves?
Oh, when I was what?
On the reserves, like basically when you were actually in the line.
Yes, I did. Yes, I have. Several times. Actually happened to me, let's see, way back when, in let's see, it was 2000. Was it 2006? This is 07, so 06. 2005. I was at a certain training base. Training, of course.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's a training base. We were doing some briefings and learning how to load gurneys, litters, which you put patients on, onto a what they call a mock or a static aircraft, C-141. And we were all had been talking, instructors were talking to us, and we were all leaving, and I was on what they call, I was one of the senior non-commissioned officers, it's an enlisted branch, that was there. So I was helping the first sergeant make sure everybody was drinking water, because this is August time frame, it's hot, okay?
Yeah.
We're in Texas, and, I mean, it is hot. Did I tell you how hot it was?
How was it?
It was hot. It's so hot, you know, you could fry an egg on the sidewalk, you know. I mean, it was hot. Anyway, we were letting all the folks was moving along to go to the next class, and we were moving from outside back to the inside. So they were walking along the path, and I stayed back at the aircraft area to make sure that everybody had left, you know, that we didn't leave anybody behind and nobody had passed out or any of those kind of things, and, you know, for safety purposes.
Yeah.
Everybody had walked on, and I hear this voice behind me, and it says, "Hey, over here." And I looked over there, and it was like they were right behind me, and nobody was there.
Really?
And, you know, I just basically started talking to him, and I said, and it was a male voice, a young male voice. I'd say somebody was being like between, you know, 19 and maybe 22, you know. Didn't see him, but I kept talking to him. I said, "I know you're here." I said, "Who are you? Where are you at?" And I didn't get a response. And I looked, and I knew it was there. You just feel it was there because I got kind of a cold chill. Like something had passed through me. I said, okay. Well, this particular area had been a landfill, okay? A lot of people had been taken out from one area out there, you know, when they, you know, people get murdered and they dump the bodies. This is one of the areas they used to get dumped at way back a long time ago until the Air Force bought it and military got it and bought the land and, you know, filled it in and made it what it is today. So, you know, there's a lot of, it got to be a lot of spiritual activity out there, right? Well, we go on, and I tell somebody, I said, somebody call. I said, there's something out here. Well, needless to say, some of the folks in my unit was with me, and it was a big mixture of different units together at this this training base. And the instructors caught wind that I did a radio show and they went and looked at my website, and for some reason they thought I was psychic. You know, because of the experiences they had read that I had, you know, had experienced and all and different things. And so they, you know, said, "Oh, so you're the resident psychic." I'm like, "No, I'm not a psychic. I call myself a psychic." And I said, "But I've experienced things. I can hear and see them sometimes." And they says, "Have you experienced anything strange while you're out there?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, just a few minutes ago," and I told them what happened. And they said, "Oh, my God," says, "you got to come to the office with us." So here I am. Get pulled in with all these instructors, the active duty instructors, that stay out of this place. They're out there. There's always somebody out there. There's always an instructor out there 24/7 when there's students out there.
Yeah.
Because we sleep out there. We train and we sleep out there at this place. And they basically told me that we've been having things happen over the last couple of years. Says in the female dorm area and in this open bay, says we've had to call the cops because they get frantic because they get woken up in the middle of the night seeing this white figure of a male figure, kind of a translucent lighted figure, walking down their alleyway, and they freak. So we've had to call the cops out here, there's peace. And they come out there and check. Nobody's out there and everything.
Did anybody have any cameras?
And I said, okay, who died? And just suicide popped in my mind. I said, who committed suicide out here? And they said, oh, my God. You know, they freaked them out, you know, even more, thinking I'm a freak of nature. And you know, they kind of gave me this look. And they said, well, there was a young airman that had committed suicide. He blew his, you know, he shot himself with a shotgun. I won't get into gross details, but he shot himself with a shotgun out there. He was out there by himself, and right next to those dorms. And they had put up like a little memorial place there where he had, you know, I guess where he had died. I said, well, there you go. I said, now who else has experienced that? I said, you guys have experienced things here. Somebody's not telling me, everything. I said, which one of you has actually seen him? And this young kid says, man, I won't stay out here by myself at night anymore. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I was in that same area where you heard the voice. He says, I was unloading some stuff in these containers, these storage bins they have out there. And he said, I turned around, and they have a cart, like a four-wheeler. And he says, I was loading that stuff in there, and all of a sudden, I turn around, and there's somebody standing there in BDUs in a you know, field hat that we wear as instructors, and just standing there by the cart. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll get it. I can handle it. You don't have to worry about it. And he said, I picked the item up, put it in there, and he said, I got to thinking, I'm the only one out here. He said, turn back around real quick, and he was gone.
Whoa.
And, you know, he said that just scared the patoosh out of him, and he got back in, and he got in that four-wheeler, and he was gone. And, you know, he called his boss and everything and talked about it. But different people had experienced things out there, and it was the kid that committed suicide had killed himself over a Dear John letter. His fiancée broke up with him and left him, and that was his reason he got depressed, and, you know, what seems to be a lot of suicide cases with young people. Couldn't handle it, and instead of getting help and reaching out for help, he took his own life, and so he's still bound in that area because he loved being an instructor, and he loved that, you know, and that goes to be most people that are in the military, they love it, and that's like their second family. Sometimes that's their only family.
I strongly believe that this actually happens quite often. Anybody who has a strong connection to, whether it's a tragic time or a great time of their lives, that somehow are attracted, they make themselves earthbound to some of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's from the past, years and years ago, or even recent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got a question for you here too as well. I mean, you look at it, the idea, when a person does investigating, do you just walk in cold turkey, or do you have to prepare yourself for, like, you know, do you have any instruments? What type of instruments do you use? How does the protocol work?
You talking about as far as preparing myself to do an investigation?
Yes, preparing yourself to start.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I have to be well. You know, I've got to be mentally, spiritually and physically prepared, ready to go into the investigation. Because you never know what you're going to go into.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to face. You know, like you said in my stated in my bio, you know, I definitely believe in a darker force out there, demonic, the angelic, fallen ones that are out there to do harm and create havoc in people's lives. So I never know what I may be going into, because they are very deceiving, and they can fool you. You may think you're dealing, maybe going in to deal with a human haunt, and you're not. You're actually getting pulled into to something that's more diabolical. So, you know, I definitely get myself prayed up. Depending on the situation, I may fast, and that's just part of my religion and my belief system. I may fast and prepare myself in case I've got to do a blessing and, you know, an emergency exorcism or something like that, right there on the spot. I try to prepare myself. Normally, when talking to the clients, I can kind of get a gander of what I may be dealing with, But again, you know, you may, you still got to prepare for the worst. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And I'll do that. I check, try to check my equipment, get everything charged up, ready to go. Hopefully I've got enough batteries. I don't forget things, and I have left things behind. You know, and had to leave. One of us had to leave an investigation, leave the site, and go get batteries or film, you know, because, you know, mentally handicapped me forgets the batteries or something. It seems like I always forget something. You know, I don't care if I had a, if I checked my list three times, I'm going to forget something. So you try not to do that. And you try to double check, make sure you got everything and everything's in working order before you go to the investigation. You know, I try to, you know, double check it a couple of nights before the investigation just to make sure all my equipment's working, you know, get, like I said, get things plugged up definitely the day before the investigation. To make sure my camera batteries are all charged up for my video cameras and things like that. That's what we do to prepare.
What kind of instruments do you use? What type of types?
Well, I got standard. You know, I got two Sony night shot video cameras, camcorders.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a mini DV, which is the small tape, and the other one is actually a digital. It's got a 40 gig hard drive in and of itself, so it uses no film. It's all digital. It's recording on that hard drive, and then I can just upload to the computer later on.
Yeah.
So it'll go for hours. You know, I can get a lot of footage on that 40 gig, and that's something that's come out that's kind of newer equipment in the video market. I have my EMF meters, my electronic magnetic field meters. I have those, are also known as a Gauss meter. Checking for electronic, electrical magnetic force or fields, which hasn't been associated a lot of times with spiritual activity, you know, that they'll whether it's them that's actually causing it or whether it's because this, the EMF is real high in an area,
mm-hmm.
can seem to give them more energy to come in, give them a portal. You know, that's something I'm starting to conclude that it's not. It may not be actually the spirits that are causing the high EMF readings. It's actually, they're just for some reason, by natural forces or freak of nature, there's high EMFs. I had a recent case.
Wouldn't you have high EMFs if you're... I mean, our energy, wouldn't it be the same as spirit energy?
Well, you know, who knows?
Hmm?
You would think.
You know,
but who knows what it's like on the
side.
I don't think there's any way that can be tested. I don't think anybody's been able to test that for sure.
You place it in front of a human, and then you place it into a corner of a room that's supposed to be active. Would it be the similar, same, or would it, or have you experienced, ever tried that test?
As far as for a human,
yeah.
No, I don't get any readings off a human. I've not gotten any, unless there's something around that human.
Yeah. Okay.
Like
so
they,
you have
like,
any...
let's say walk into that field. Let's put it this way. If you go up to a microwave,
yeah.
Your meter's going to go off.
Okay.
If you wave, you get that close to a microwave, a TV, a computer monitor.
A little bit radioactive also.
Electrical wires.
Yeah.
It will make it go off. Well, this recent case, here's point in case right here. This individual, military, okay, this is on the base.
Uh-huh.
I can't say where it's at, undisclosed location. I get a call, and they tell me that they've seen the spirit of a little boy. They've got a lot of activity going on in the home. Well, I come check it out. Sure enough, I go in there. Dude, my EMF meter is going nuts. I pull it out, turn it on, and it's like, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, good great, what? And I'm in the middle of a room. All right, it's on a slab floor. I mean, you know, the floor is a concrete, it's a slab. I go up, and I'm going along the walls, and it's just going off like crazy. I'm like, I've never seen it go off like that, just in midair like that. I mean, you hear of it, you know, whenever there's spiritual activity. But this whole house is just the EMF readings are so high. It was pegging out. I mean, it was either the needle was halfway or all the way over. You know,
so
I mean, it was really
pegging. Only
time
you had one like that, like it, or just one of the common type of high activity?
Do what now?
Like when you used the IMF, was it like, is that the highest I've ever seen ever before, or you actually?
Yeah, I mean, it was the highest. I think it's the highest I've ever actually seen it go off.
Really?
That it was off the scale.
Oh.
It was totally off the scale, and it was because of the electrical, the wiring. The wiring that in the area, it's just blew my mind. It blew Jesse's mind. He was like, "What in the world?" So I theorized, "Man, I said, well, we've got such a high. I said, that's why they're attracted here. Plus, this guy's gifted too. I mean, the client, one of the clients he's gifted. He's been gifted since a child. Sound like
yeah.
I am." And he has seen spirits, he's heard them, but he had blocked them out of fear. And we've been working with him, talking to him, and he's starting to open up more to it, and he's starting to understand it and how to talk to them, how to get them to stop. But they were just flooding in. There was more than one spirit. There was some male and a female, and a little male boy. Well, a little male boy. That sounds.
But how would it?
A little boy. So there's three spirits, and they were getting attracted to this, and I said, I think his house was like a portal.
So you think it's
going to the garage, and it wasn't there. It was just in a certain portion of this house.
Now, like you said before, was this on the air base?
It was on a base.
Okay, so basically, because there are, I mean, I know in the military, they always have houses available for families.
Yeah, it was base house.
It's on the base, so that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So there must have been something that tragically may have happened.
Well, it was old World War II base. It had been used for during World War II.
Why? Okay.
So this is what I'm saying. There's a lot of attraction, and I know there's a lot of bases that they've had suicides.
Yeah.
It's like its own community, you know. So, I mean, you're going to have those tragedies. You're going to have people that die, natural causes. You have people that commit suicide. You have people that get murdered. You have people. You have different things that happen.
Yeah.
Just like anywhere else.
Yeah.
I think a big difference, Derek, when you're talking, you know, when you're talking about a military person is, remember when I said earlier, I said, there, it's like a second family.
Yeah.
You're attached to, you're part of this group. You never really leave the military, even though you may separate, you may retire, or whatever. You still have a portion of you that is a part of that. That is a part of you that there's a camaraderie there that you don't want to give up.
No, not at all.
That you are a part of it. You're a segment of that. And I think some people get stuck there. Some of these people that have been there, that died there or whatever, they don't want to leave. That's their family. They don't want to leave this family. And you don't have to know the people.
No.
I can go to a base of, I'll make friends, you know, in a matter of seconds. You're going to make friends because you've got something in common. There's a commonality there.
Yeah.
And especially during a wartime period, there's a cohesiveness there that you're all there for a reason, and you're all together for a reason, for a purpose. So you're really cohesed together, and you're a family.
Yeah.
You are it, especially when you go off to remote sites and stuff like that, and it's just you. You're it. You get really close with people, so you develop not just friendships, kinships. So you're gonna have there's gonna be that attraction, I think, for the spirits there. So the only thing I could think of is the EMFs were so high there, it was of natural causes. It was from the wiring. It was from the area that was creating more of a portal. And giving them high energy. Which we believe that's how they develop, because the spirit is made of energy, is the theory. So if that's the case, you got a place that's got high EMF readings, like Dr. Taft has discovered at this location over in California. You know, he told me the same thing. He said the whole area was just he said he'd never seen EMF readings like that. They were pegging off the chart.
Well, you know, Keith,
and they were having a lot of spiritual activity, a lot of poltergeist activity, a lot of things happening that he felt they were feeding off that, and it was opening like opening the veil, and these spirits were able to interact, be able to come in through this like a door.
Do you feel this actually there's more energy coming out more now and more activity of paranormal investigating happening? I mean, now you notice that, you think about it, you watch these programs. There are a lot of people coming out of the blue now doing a lot of paranormal investigations on television. Example, we'll talk about, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but you know, like, I think it's Keith Age. One of the guys, is he the big fellow? The one that went in and helped the guys on the Ghost of Waverly Hills Sanitarium. And he also stated that one of his IMF actually fried inside.
Yeah, Keith said that he actually had one of them did fry.
Yeah, and he's never experienced.
I've had a laptop fry. I've had a laptop melt. Chris Moon and I had a laptop melt. In fact, it was Chris's laptop.
Chris Moon burned?
Yeah, on a case in California that we went
was
on.
That all to do with Frank's box at the time?
With what now?
With Frank's box?
No, he did not. Unfortunately, he did not have Frank's box with him that particular investigation.
Okay.
But we ended up doing an emergency exorcism in that place.
Wow.
There was a lot of things going on, and it was pretty wild. But yeah, his laptop melted.
I had Chris on my show last week, and I, after the show was over, I talked to him. He kept the box on right after the show, and I asked him questions about my family. And my mother and father came through. I actually heard their voices.
Yeah.
You know, you're not because you want to, but I did hear. I mean, I was thinking, everybody wants to go to the benefit of the doubt. You want to sit there and go, okay, is it really happening or not? I mean, you yourself were sitting next to him when this happened.
Yep.
And you experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're involved in everything.
Yeah, I had, I've been involved with Chris with the Frank's box. I do some analysis for him. He records it for clients, and if they want a copy of it, they have me doing analysis. I work with the audio version of it and basically amplify it and take out segments of it that you can hear, because there is a lot of static.
Yeah.
You got to remember, they come through on the static, and so there's a lot of clicks, pops, and statics, and in that you will hear people coming through. You hear voices coming through answering questions. I mean, they're talking. I mean, it's complete sentences a lot of times. They're actually answering questions that you're talking. I mean, just like having, like we're talking right now, just in a bunch of static. So you try to clean that up, and I try to amplify it so that you can hear something, because sometimes it's low, sometimes it's really loud. I mean, you'll ask them a question, and they'll say, no, that's not right, you know, or something like that. And you're like, oh, okay, that's
a good one. My mother came in during the show, and I had a friend of mine come on. He made a phone call to talk to his father. And my mother refused to step back to let him talk. Chris was saying they're literally arguing amongst each other to see who's got the best talking, best of conversation.
Yeah, that happens a lot, too. There's someone that's strong-willed.
Yeah.
The spirits, they get to arguing with one another who's going to talk. Or be allowed to talk or come through. So, yeah, that happened to us in Savannah. See, we did a live radio show, and that's on my website. Now, it's best played on Winamp, but there's a banner on our website at APSRradio.com. Scroll down, and you'll see the banner that talks about the Savannah Ghost Chasers Weekend with the Frank's Box, with Chris Moon, where we recorded it. And it's about an hour and a half, I think, or 2 hours. No, it was in our two-hour show. We played clips from the exhibition that he gave. He's let people talk, and people, spirits were just coming through and calling people out of the crowd.
You know, I was actually interested.
And that's what was funny. Bob Honeycutt got called out.
Yeah.
He was sitting in the company and said, hey, Bob. And he knew exactly who it was.
Yeah, because, I mean, while Chris was talking to me, while I guess he was answering me, I can hear my mom talking while he's talking to me. I can hear other people talking while they were talking to each other.
Yep.
After
you
the person was coming
you hear
in.
Them talking.
Literally,
I had a buddy of mine come through One of the guys that I talk a lot about on my show, the one, you know, because I actually have my own Christmas Carol. Jimmy Lowry's version of Christmas Carol. One of my best friends had died while I was over in Turkey. This is, you know, in 89. He died. He was killed in a car accident in November of 89. I came home on leave to be with my kids for Christmas and my parents down in southern Alabama. And he came to me, full body, full-fledged spiritual body. He was solid. The boys were with him. He was playing with them. That's what woke me up. You know, he told me, you know, he basically was there to give me a message. It was strange that I was able to see him as well and be in that situation. It was something very unique. Not the only person that's happened to, but, you know, I was a fortunate person that I got to experience it. But he came through on the box, you know, and I basically said, you know, are you still always, you know, you're around? He says, all of us are around. You know, you've always told me that there's been several spirits that are around me, that protect me and that are there on my side because of what I do. A lot of my relatives. Mm-hmm. So I never really got a exact answer. Which ones of you were here? They never really came out and stated. But he said he and, you know, some of the others, Heather's grandmother and I think my uncle, for sure, and my grandfather are around a lot.
Yeah.
But there's some others too, and I don't know who they are. The person would never say.
Yeah.
But I heard it, and it was his voice. I tested him, you know, to make sure that's, you know, it wasn't a trick. And I said, I asked the question. I said, what did you use to call me when you were alive? And I said, when we were hanging out. And he named a base, and he named the nickname. I can't say it on the show, but
okay.
He had a cute little name. It was funny.
Okay.
But it's an ugly word, so I can't say. But that gave me confirmation that that's who was coming through. It was my deceased friend that was actually coming through.
But isn't it good to get confirmation?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of cool, you know, to say, okay, well, you know, maybe there is something to the box, because I was definitely a doubter, and Chris knew I was. I mean, I made no bones about it. I said, Chris, is just something I'm going to have to experience, you know. I said, I want to believe you, but I said, I got to experience it for myself.
Yeah.
And he told me. I remember when Chris first got it. I was the first one he told about it.
Yeah.
Because we did so much work together. With the Sally House and different things we were working on with the magazine and the website and all, he knew I was very skeptical. And I said, it's not that I'm not calling you a liar and saying you're a fruitcake. I said, but I've got to experience it for myself before I could say, hey, this is real. And sure enough, I got a bait full of it. But anytime you're using, you know, it's great that you got this communication method, but Chris even has to be careful, and I'm sure he told you, even the bad stuff can come through sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You're mentioning, or actually, I asked Chris the strangest question. I said, have you ever had anybody that's not passed away and their voice comes through? And he said, yes.
Yep.
It actually copycatted.
It copycatted them, yep. And there was one that all of us that were there at this particular private session, knew this person and had problems going on that this voice came across and said some things that only I knew. None of the others knew what he was talking about, and when he said it, and then I explained to everybody, and they said, oh, Lord, now we know what's going on. That, and it made sense.
Yeah.
But it also had some of the demonic come through.
Yeah.
In their true sense of voices, and
gotta be on your
not,
toes.
Not pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's getting really close to Christmas. And what do you got planned to do before the end of the year 2007?
Get through Christmas first.
Get through Christmas first.
Yeah. No, Now, actually, my parents are coming up. I'm going to get to see my parents. I hadn't been able to spend Christmas with them in a good probably about 6 years. So it's going to be kind of nice to have my parents here. They're coming up from Florida. So they get here, they're coming up this weekend. And I'll get to spend a few days with them. And then finally going to be probably hopefully be going back to work. Got some cases that I really need to get back on. I've not been able to get on. Remember, I said you got to be physically well. I've been one of the reasons I haven't been doing the show too much is I got hurt last year, and one of the reasons I retired because I couldn't do the physical fitness.
Your knee or back?
I hurt my legs, my back, my hips. So there's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm on a lot of medication right now.
Wow.
So one thing I do not do is I do not go into investigation when I'm on. When I'm sick or on some heavy-duty medications, it makes you too open. It makes you susceptible. You can't, you know, you may get into something that you don't want to get into that could, you know, take you over. You know.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to feel delirious.
And I don't want to feel delirious. And yeah. And I want to be, you know, I want to be at the top of my game whenever I go in. You know.
Yeah.
So, I've not been able to do. We did go do that one investigation, and basically what I did, and I was hurting, but I try to, you know, get a lot of. I got a lot of rest because I happened not be working at the time, so I was able to rest up and prepare for it. But like right now, I'm not able to because it's getting worse until they figure out, get me on the right stuff to fix me up and everything.
How long
I'm having to take a lot of downtime. That's one of the reasons I'm not doing the show, too. I just don't feel like doing the show. So Mike's been, old Hip's been taking our place for us while we've been on hiatus since May. And every now and then I make a special appearance. I think you never know when I'm going
to. Yeah, you speak on when I'm not around.
Yeah. Yeah, I come on. But Mike's been doing a fabulous job. Been hearing a lot of good reports about him. He tries to keep the good humor, Southern humor, that Heather and I had. You know, of course, it's not Heather and I. So, you know, Mike is Mike, and Dr. Jimmy is Dr. Jimmy, and Heather is Heather.
Yeah.
So it is a different. It's still APSR talk radio show. Still try to have fun with it and enjoy ourselves, but it's just a, you know, it's Mike. Mike's got his own way of. Hosting, and I think he's doing a great job, and he's definitely been a blessing to come in and start the show back up and keep it going for us, so that we don't disappear totally out there because we work too hard to get it up. I mean,
everybody in the chat room says they miss not hearing your voice.
And who said that?
Everybody in the chat room, all the people in chat room said the ones that have been dedicating listening to you for these last couple of years all miss your voice.
Well, I tell them I miss being on there. We really do. I miss not being able to do the show, but it's just hard. It's hard to do it every night right now. You know, hopefully things will get better. I mean, you know, I'm not dying or anything. I don't want people to think that. I'm going to get better. It's just I do need to get better. I need to get well. And definitely trying to do a show every night, preparing for it and doing all the stuff it takes to do a show, I'm just not able to do. I'm not able to give it my 100%. And if I can't give it my 100%, I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to have a bad show.
Now, you got a Christmas story to share, I'm sure. Anything paranormal, anything that you've actually have something to share about regarding Christmas?
Well,
what was your most fondest memory?
Well, I just did.
That was the one?
Yeah, well, my friend.
That was it. Okay.
That
so
was
now,
on Christmas Eve. That
I
happened.
Thought you had more than that.
No, that happened on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I said that was a Christmas
present
carol.
From him, then.
That was a Charles Dickens, Jimmy Lowry Christmas carol.
Wow, that's cool.
Where my friend came to me that night. The whole room, you know, if anybody's ever watched A Christmas Carol, which I love, my favorite show, actually was acted in that in a play when I was in high school. And I was in chorus, the chorus band, which was like top state. I mean, we were good. I was in a quartet, and we did a play. We did, you know, the Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol.
No, you played Scrooge?
And I played young Scrooge. It's perfect. My mother said, that is his. He said, he doesn't even have to act. He's good.
That is he's Jimmy.
I was Jimmy, yeah. Ebenezer Jimmy. And that happened, you know, but when the spirit of Christmas comes to visit, he's the second spirit that visits Ebenezer Scrooge, which is the spirit of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The portion where he lights up when he first appears in it's full of light, and, you know, and Ebenezer can't stand it because, you know, he's never seen this light, and you know, because he didn't have the spirit of Christmas in him. Well, that's what this whole room lit up. It was like that. It was just this luminous, I don't know. The room was just filled with light. And it was a warm light. It was a warm feeling. It was, and no Christmas tree wasn't on. There was no lights in the house. There was no night light on outside. It was just lit up in that particular area where he was at. And he was illuminated. He was, my friend David was glowing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a different type of body. He I don't know if he was just able to absorb all the energy and manipulate it to where he was like a solid mass, or just able to be like he was solid, because he was bouncing my boys on his knee.
Yeah.
They were sitting on his knee on the couch, because he was sitting on the couch, and he was bouncing them on their knee, on his knee. And they were laughing and giggling, and they called him Uncle Dave. And they were 2 and 3 and 1/2, 2 and 1/2 and 3 and 1/2. Almost 4. One was almost 4. And they knew him, because he was with me all the time. We were friends, best friends, and I had custody of the kids, you know, or I had visitation rights, so he would go with me to get the kids on the weekend, and we'd go to my parents' house all the time. So he was like a part of my family. He was like my big brother. He was like my brother, you know, more than a friend. He was my brother. And we looked a lot alike, except he was taller. and had more hair.
He had more hair or less hair?
He had more hair.
More hair.
He had thick, curly hair, wavy hair, curly, kinky hair.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the girls, he just attracted people. He just had this personality. It was the weirdest thing. My mother and I talked about it later, and she's like, you know, why would he come and visit me? Why, you know, it's hard to go, you know, when you're raised in mainstream Christianity, you know, everything's demonic. You know, they know a lot of them do not believe in ghosts, but my parents do. We definitely believe that there's things with human spirit, and that there are ghosts. Sometimes they come back. I believe they come back and forth, and people have seen them. There's been too many cases where they've been seen, and it's in the Bible too. You can find it in the Bible where they've seen spirits,
mm-hmm.
or ghosts, a human type. And he had this glow about him, even alive then, where people just became friends with him. He was just a friendly fella, always happy. Even though he was going through some bad times, he was always happy, made people happy around him, and had that inner that personality that was just energy, you know, illuminated from this guy.
Yeah.
And you couldn't be mad around him. I don't care how ticked off I would be at my ex, because I was going through a divorce at that time that I met him. No matter how mad I was, whenever he come around, I couldn't stay mad. I had to get happy. And I told him, I said, you make me sick. I need to be mad. I can't be happy all the time. You know, he'd laugh about that. He'd pick on me about it. And that's where I got my nickname. He called me a name, you know, a certain type of name, and tell me quit acting like a, you know, such and such, and because he, you know, he's trying to keep me positive, and very positive individual. So it's no wonder that he's being used. I believe he's helping others. He's a spirit that goes in there. I think he helps other people get through things, and he probably greets other spirits. I've had vivid dreams of him and another friend of mine that has passed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. I told him, you know, I try to talk to him every now and then. I said, okay, Dave, give me the scoop, man. What is going on? You know, what's happening? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? And it won't be no sooner, a couple, 3 days later, I'll have a very vivid dream. And I had a dream that we came to me, and also a friend of mine that had recently passed, and that was their job. What they showed me in the dream, and I know when I'm having a dream, you know, one of those fantasy dreams versus something that's come to me, I'm having a vision type thing, because I have visions. I get visual dreams.
Yeah.
And that's been proven. I mean, I've been tested on that, and that's been proved to be the case.
Well, that happened to me,
I know,
too.
The difference.
I mean,
and he definitely was telling me that, you know, hey, we're there to help the spirits cross over.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. No.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I think he came to me. He told me I had a job to do. That was the reason he came, that I was not, I had to get out of this depression I was in, because I was really depressed.
Uh-huh.
About his death and everything. He said, don't be depressed. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I didn't feel nothing. It was fast.
Did he tell you?
I went right away, and because I was really worried about that he had burned alive, that he was alive when he died, that he burned alive. He said he was already dead before that happened. Not
yeah, they
worry.
Took Mario's body before he even suffers.
Yeah, he was already taken out. He was snatched out.
Yeah.
So his life was already gone. So that was just a shell that burnt.
Yeah.
His spirit was already gone. He'd already been snatched up and taken over to the other side. And he told me, he said he had a purpose. He said, you've got a purpose. He said, I can't tell you exactly what that is. He said, but you'll figure it out. Trust me.
Did you ever ask him yourself in a dream or in your vision, or even ask him, whether it's Christmas box, but next time you have a chance, you ever ask him if your purpose is as a paranormal investigator the rest of your life?
Because I know very well they'll
tell you that.
Is what now?
Your purpose is, will always be a paranormal investigator the rest of your life.
I don't think that's something I have to ask. I think I pretty much know the answer to that one.
Yeah. I think this
is something that is, it's a calling, and until God takes me, I think I'll be doing this.
No, God won't take you. You're too bloody stubborn to leave.
Yeah, I'm too stubborn. And sometimes I'd rather be on the other side. Why don't you let me swap? Let me do some of that sometimes, you know.
I'll do your job for you. You do my job.
Yeah, but they won't do it. Now I got to be on this side, and I think that's my purpose.
So how's your family doing?
They're doing great. Kids are growing up. It's gonna be a granddaddy in about 3 months.
Oh my God.
Yep. Oldest boy's just gonna have he and his fiance are just gonna have their first child. So I'm going to have a granddaughter, it looks like.
Well, tell Heather I said hey.
I will. Yeah, she's not too enthused about being called grandma yet. Because, you know, she's a lot younger than I am.
Just call her little grandma.
Little grandma. Young grandma.
She's called
but,
grandma.
We are definitely excited about the baby. I mean, we're going to go be there with them. We're hoping we can be there during the birth, but you know how that is. They're a lot further away from us, so we may have to wait and go after the baby's born and go. But we're looking forward to that. So that's one of the things we got coming up after Christmas. I'll probably be starting a new job, doing some work for the government still. And can't never get out of it, you know. It's just one of those things.
You still have a lot of things
coming up. We're going to be filming, hopefully, after the first of the year. I know everybody's been waiting on our TV show to come out, the internet TV show.
I can hardly wait.
It's been postponed because I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with this other deal. So I've kind of had to put that on hold. I haven't really, this is the first time I waited to the night to mention it.
Yeah.
But it's been kind of put on hold right now, especially because of health reasons. We wanted to wait a few more weeks. I'm having tests run and stuff, and want to make sure that, you know, I'm physically able. I can have the stamina to do it. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to get through the Christmas and see how that goes, because I didn't anticipate going downhill like I did. I didn't realize I didn't anticipate getting worse. like I did, and that postponed it. That was one of the main reasons. But we do have some other deals. My book will be coming out. I've actually been approached by a publisher.
Good.
Llewellyn is looking at, they're interested in doing some stuff with us.
Good.
Which has been around since the 1960s. So they want to maybe publish our works. So I've got my book. I've got the manuscript. So, you know, I know I said 2007, but it looks like everything's going to get pushed into 2008.
Good.
Maybe that's the year, 2008. That's the magic number.
Well, you figured out eight is actually the eight number gets you to go back into your reminiscing in time. What it does, it as a numerology, for example, you refer back to the past and see what accomplishments you've made, and then the two and eight goes to a ten. So basically, you're finishing off old news and beginning new news. So it's not a finish, but it's actually a brand new journey for you. But it's still going to be very successful.
Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah, you're going to still do well. I know you will. I just have faith in you, and I'm praying for your health a lot. So anybody out there who's actually been listening to the show, please do send prayers to Jimmy so he needs to get healed. It doesn't hurt to send some healing energy up to that boy. And if anybody else needs healing in that family, just pray for him each time because he needs that help. I always think about you all the time and keep on saying, what's Jimmy doing? And I've always wanted to get you on my show as much as I possibly can when I was on your show. Anyways, we're almost coming to a close, so what I want to do is I want to thank you very much for coming on, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Derek. It's
a lot of fun.
On the show.
And, you know, Christmas has come so close. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and to and all the listeners out there, too. You know, definitely a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. And
looking
you know,
forward to talking to you in 2008.
There. Yeah, well, give me a you know you can call me anytime, man. You
know, I know. I'll talk to you anytime.
Well, give me a holler after the show, if you will.
Okay, well. Okay, well, guys, you take care.
All right, bud.
It's been a wonderful time. Thank you, Jimmy, for coming on.
You bet.
In the meantime, in between time, this is it. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud talking to you. Merry Christmas, everyone. I will talk to you. I'm not sure if BBS Radio is going to actually be running a Christmas show right straight through Christmas Day, because my show's on Christmas Day. So if it isn't, we'll be playing a recording for that Christmas Day, and I'll be looking forward to talking to folks next following week after that. So anyways, take care, folks. We'll get in touch with each other, and we have great new guests coming on for the next following time. So take care, and be careful out there, and behave yourself, and have a wonderful time. Take care, guys. Bye.